By order of the Overseer Council, certain parts of this file are subject to Level 4 or higher classification. Research into SCP-1730 is currently ongoing. Individuals involved in research may be subject to the effects of known or unknown cognitohazards. Information on these hazards is on a need-to-know basis only. Individuals attempting to subvert these classification measures will be subject to immediate termination by a Class 8 Red Kill Anomalous Mimetic Hazard. Item number SCP-1730, Object Class Euclid. Special Containment Procedures. A circular perimeter has been established 2 km from SCP-1730, and a quarantine zone has been established 1 km from SCP-1730. Personnel who are to enter SCP-1730 must first undergo Class 7 Hazardous Contact Preparation Measures, including the application of a modified, Maxwell-hardened, hazardous material reinforced airtight suit. The application of these protective measures may only take place at the provisional Site-23 quarantine main gate. Individuals attempting to exit the quarantine area must first submit the thorough decontamination protocols as administered by the quarantine security staff. Individuals failing to meet the quarantine extraction parameters are to be held for further decontamination, or in the event decontamination becomes unfeasible, termination. Containment Update. Dangerous biological and cognitohazardous entities have resulted in high casualties of security rescue teams. Mobile Task Force Zeta-9 mole rats have been assigned to all current exploration efforts. Containment Update. Due to the events detailed in Exploration Log 7, all future exploration of SCP-1730 have been suspended indefinitely, pending Overseer approval. Description: SCP-1730 is a large complex of structures 15 km northwest of the U.S.-Mexico border within Big Bend Ranch State Park that was discovered on June 5th. Due to the isolated nature of the complex, and the low survival rate of individuals who come in contact with it, it is possible that SCP-1730 had been previously discovered but unreported. SCP-1730 bears identifying markings and contain documents to support the claim that SCP-1730 was at one point Foundation Site-13, originally located near Nome, Alaska. This conflicts with current records, which show that Site-13 was a project that, while intended to be constructed in Nome, was scrapped for the larger and more advanced Site-19 and never completed. Flora located on-site have been traced back to those native to the Alaskan region. How SCP-1730 came to be at its current location is unknown. SCP-1730 is in a severe state of disrepair, and appears to have been left abandoned for an extended period of time. The site power generator has continued to operate in a damaged state, despite a number of fuel leaks and fires throughout the facility. This has resulted in intermittent power failures throughout the site, hindering exploration and rescue efforts. The origin of SCP-1730 is unknown, as is the nature of many of the anomalous entities contained within. It is confirmed that the 2nd through 15th basement levels were utilized for entity containment, though the state of that containment has deteriorated significantly. Footnote 1. While records indicate these floors were utilized for containment entities, it is uncertain how far down the facility actually extends. It is believed that a contingent of human survivors exists somewhere deep in the lower basement levels of the facility. Messages written in English have been discovered throughout the site, consisting of warnings such as "danger" and "death here," and other messages such as "not my body" and "bleed." A recurring message, "What happened to Site-13?" has been found in several different locations in the basements. Several logs of data have been collected by the remaining functional site terminals, the relevant data of which is contained in the addendums below. Worth noting is that inconsistencies exist between the logs and what has been determined through exploration, including the site layout, staff makeup, and contained anomalies. Addendum 1730.1. Recovered Log. Sidelog 1.log. Team: Charlie Yukon. Assignment: Site-13 Recovery. Lead: CY-1. Begin Log. We found it. Watched it kill Daly earlier. Crawled right into his mouth, and next thing you know, Daly's got blood leaking out of his ears. Puking it up, shitting it out, everywhere. Blood looked funny, too. Too dark. It was running out of his hair, like through the follicles. His hair fell out right with it. Once it was over, the thing that crawled inside of him crawled back out with a buddy. One of them, can't say which, drinks up all this blood like a leech. The other one crawls back inside Daly and he stands up. turns around and starts coming at us. I can see that thing inside of him when he opens his mouth, so I pulled a bullet in his face, then another. We emptied our magazines into him. He didn't get up after that. We're not going to be too much longer, though. Found another one of those messages down here. You know. Just a matter of time before it starts. We strapped some C4 to it and blew the wall, and I think it's pretty illegible at this point, but it doesn't matter. Jones already went quiet like the others. We shoved him down elevator shaft earlier. Didn't hear the body hit the ground. Think I just heard them start up Thresher. Wish we would have known about that sooner. Oh well. Addendum 1730.2. Recovered automated message. RACMES.log. The following message was recovered from SCP-1730's emergency warning system. Logs on file indicate that it was transmitted moments prior to a major electrical disturbance, and 3 minutes before an explosion within the site power relay. General notice, Site-13 has experienced a gross breach of containment systems. Has breached containment during testing. On-site nuclear device is non-responsive. Thresher protocol has been activated. Life support systems online. Electrical systems offline. Fire control systems offline. Flood control systems offline. Reactor status critical. Euclid class containment status critical. Keter class containment status compromised. Addendum 1730.3. Expiration log transcripts. Log1.log. Initial expiration video log transcript. Date. Expiration team, Mobile Task Force D-12 Mudslingers. Subject SCP-1730. Team Lead D-12 Cap. Team Members D-12-1, D-12-2, D-12-3, D-12-4, D-12-5. Begin log. Recorders on, everyone check your mics. Check. 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 Check check. And check makes 5. Right command, you hear us clear? Roger that, Team Lead. Alright, keep weapons locked. No idea what we're gonna see in there. Yep, we're set. Let's move in. Those doors. Team moves into main SCP-1730 structure through front doors. Doors found to be unlocked. Keep your eyes open. Dark in here, switching lights. Good call. Team switches on shoulder-mounted lights. Something written on the wall over here. Yeah, here too. What you got? Get below and don't look at the walls next to it. Little late for that. What about you two? What did we do? You see that command? Yes. Alright, let's move on out. Service elevator over there. 5. Check if it has power. Yep, this'll work. Let's see how far it'll take us in. Team enters service elevator. Video indicates lit control panel with various 4 buttons. D-12 cap hits button labeled B-3. And away we go. Elevator descends briefly, stops upon reaching the 3rd basement level. Door opens to reveal a dark hallway. A single light is on at a bend in the hall, roughly 50 meters from the elevator. Okay, let's clear this level first, then we can go from there. 1 and 3, take that hallway there. Myself and 4 can check the rooms in this hallway, and 2 and 5 stay here. Make sure our elevator sticks around. Team splits up. D-12-1 and D-12-3 moves towards the light at the end of the hallway. D-12 cats begin checking rooms on the left side of the hallway. D-12-4 checks the right side. Rooms are filthy. What is this? Yeah, I see it too. Is it mud? Feels like it. Some kind of sludge. Smells metallic. Pulls test tube from belt. I'll send this back up, Site Command. Let you guys poke around in it. Acknowledge. Try and keep out of it as much as you can until we can figure out what it is. Sure thing. We're at the end of this hallway. Another hallway here. Looks like there's some kind of barricade at the end. Bunch of tables and desks all piled up. Can you approach the barricade, 1? D-12-1 and D-12-3 approach the barricade. More of the sludge in this room, caked on the walls, found a body. Hang tight, 1. Don't move. I'm coming, 4. D-12 Cap enters the room. A visible humanoid body is seen half-submerged in the thick black material in a corner. The head and neck are not visible. Yep, any kind of identification. He's got a spot on his belt for a badge but is missing. Looks pulled off. Maybe to unlock a door somewhere? Maybe. Go ahead and proceed, 1. Aye. Cap, more bodies here. That sludge is all over the back of this barricade. Shit, that one moved. There's something else in this pile. Get a light on it. Moving your way, guys. Oh, there. Fuck! Gunshots. Report, guys. We're getting to you. Thing crawled out of one of their mouths. Some kind of snake, I think. A lot of teeth. Can't really tell what it is now. Look here, you hit that body, see that? Fuck, it's hollow. D-12 Cap and D-12-4 arrive at barricade. You seeing this, Command?
Affirmative.
Alright, watch for that then, I guess. Weapons hot, if they aren't already. Aye, aye. Let's head back to the elevator, see if we can't get down the next level. Is that door un- Yeah, I thought so. Let's just do that then. D-12 Cap, D-12-1, D-12-3, and D-12-4 move back down hallway. Wait a second. Didn't this turn left earlier? Sure fucking did. Where's the elevator? 2-5, you read me? Silence. Here we go. Shut it, alright. Shit. Command, you read us?
Sure do, Captain. You got a read on 2 and 5? Should be about 45 meters to your 12.
There's a wall here. Looks like it's always been here. Either we're hallucinating or the building is doing something fucky. Either way. Can you get a hold of either of them?
A moment. Site Command attempts to communicate with D-12-2 and D-12-5. Neither of whom are responsive.
No go. Ah shit, let's just find a way up and get out of here then.
D-12 team proceeds down hallway. Notable, hallway is much longer than any on any recovered schematic of the site.
Got something else on this door.
What's that?
Says silence. We're trying to check this.
Is this a containment cell? That's just an office door.
The whole floor looks just like offices.
Alright then, get in there. D-12-1 attempts to open door.
It's locked, I can't get it open.
Knock the door down then.
You hear that?
1.
2.
It sounds like somebody's shushing.
3.
D-12-1 kicks down door. Video records 3 frames of a naked human with what appears to be fire burning out of its ears staring fearfully at the door.
Fuck!
There is an intense white light and the sound of searing meat. All camera lenses are damaged and become non-functional. All microphones except for that on D-12-3 stop working.
What happened?
Captain.
D-12 team.
Site Command attempts to communicate with D-12 Cap for an additional 30 seconds before realizing that D-12-3's mic is still operational.
D-12-3, can you hear us?
Static.
D-12-3.
Static and then the sound of slithering.
D-12-3.
A cry, then the sound of choking. This continues for 43 seconds and then the sound of liquid leaking, then pouring, accompanied by the sound of vomit. Large wet objects can be overheard hitting the floor. A dull, low approaching sound accompanies this. Mic cuts out suddenly.
D-12-3. Shit.
Oh shit, hey Site Command.
Jesus Christ.
What? D-12-2, where are you right now?
By the elevator. We assumed our radios had stopped working down here. We're just waiting for them to get back.
The rest of the team is compromised. Hang on. We're trying to establish a link to your video.
No need for that. It's probably just interference. Can you send a team down here to get us?
Hang on. Video coming up.
Don't.
Got you, you.
Mounted cameras on both individuals do not show the hallway they had been standing in, but what looks like a large utility room. Boilers are visible in the near distance, and a wall appears to have been caved in. D-12-2 appears to be hanging upside down, facing D-12-5, both of whom are stark white and unmoving. Their faces are covered in blood that looks like to have originated from their mouth, nostrils, and eyes. A large object is seen moving quickly behind D-12-2, accompanied by the sound of slithering from many different sources. D-12-5 opens his eyes. 2 frames later, the video and audio feed cuts out. No additional responses are picked up from the D-12 team. End log.
Log 3.log.
Initial exploration video log transcript. Date. Exploration team, Mobile Task Force Y-24, Gulliver's Travelers. Subject SCP-1730. Team lead, Y-24 Cap. Team members, Y-24-1, Y-24-2. Notes. Initial exploration of the main site structure proved too dangerous for an additional attempt without additional resources. The only remaining mobile task force on hand was Mobile Task Force Y-24, a 3-man team who was charged with entering the site power station and assessing the damage. Coming online. Video and audio feed for all 3 members come online simultaneously. Ahead of them is the entrance to the SCP-1730 power station.
Can you hear us?
Affirmative.
Good. Anything else we should know?
Thermal scans read one of the cores is being superheated. Might be on the verge of an explosion. Stay as far away from them as you can. You can use the micro drones if you need to. Don't worry about trying to get them back.
Right, okay, good. Let's get on.
Y-24 team enters power station. First room appears to be a security station.
There's our first problem. Doors are locked.
These are pretty solid, too. Is that glass bulletproof?
Check it.
Loud thump.
Guess that answered that.
Command, are we clear to use explosives in here?
Negative.
Structure is pretty weak all over. You'll risk caving yourself in.
Well shit, there's no other way in. Hang on, we have anybody on site with a level 4 clearance card? One that can override breach lockdowns? Dr. Edwards is with a team over at the containment bay. No, no. It would have to be somebody older. Edwards has only been around, like, what, 10 years? Somebody who has had the clearance for a long time? Stand by. Director Jameson is currently on assignment at Site 65. Yeah, that's 3 hours from here, we won't— No, you've got the right idea. Get Director Jameson on the phone, Command. Ask him what his clearance code was in. When was Site 19 built, 1960? Stand by. 10 minutes passed, extraneous logs removed. Alright, you ready? Go ahead. Well, I'll be damned. Hello, Researcher Jameson. Will you look at that? We'll send the director your regards. Please do. Good work, One. Let's get in here. Team enters Power Station Main Concourse. Can you see the damaged core? No, they all look fine. Let's switch to the thermal lens. There it is. Are we missing something? That core looks fine. We need to get closer to it, guys. Right. Releasing microdrone, Command. Y-24-CAT releases microdrone. Drone approaches power station cores and begins to circle them. 12 cores are accounted for, 7 of them damaged beyond repair, 3 have not been brought up to power, and 2 are operating at full capacity. One of the 2 is a superheated core, which aside from its abnormal temperature showed no other sign of damage. It looked fine. Can you get closer to that, Captain? Sure. Y-24 team approaches the superheated core. Temperature readings begin to rise as they grow closer. It's hot enough anyways. What's this shit? It's really thick. Is that sludge? Some kind of waste? Try and avoid that, team. Captain, can you get a vial of it on a microdrone and send it back out the way you came? Yeah, hang on. Two, grab one of— Yeah, you got it. Sample's on the way, Command. Thanks. Be careful, guys. Try to get around to the other side of it. I'm over here. Nothing looks— Ah, fuck. Look. Jesus. Y-24-1 camera shows no fewer than 10 human bodies bound to the side of a superheated core with wire. All the bodies appear similar to the bodies found by the D-12 team. Stark white, blood leaking from all orifices, non-responsive. Something written underneath them. Is that blood? What happened to Site 13? These lines don't run up the main structure. See here? They're running below us. Any kind of identifier? Let me see. Yeah, they're all labeled. Body pit. They run straight into the ground over there. Looks like we're going below then. Command, you copy all that? We do. Just received your sample back as well. Going to get a report on that in just a few minutes. Alright, good. Let's get down there. There's a stairwell over here. Y-24 team approaches stairwell and begins to descend. Lighting is absent in the stairwell, and all team members switch on their shoulder lights. These doors are all hard locked. Y-24 team descends to the bottom of the stairwell. The door there is open. This has been pried open. Looks like somebody was trying to get out, not in? Something else written on the wall here. Fuck SCP. That's polite. Team enters the doorway. You smell that? Fuck yeah, that's disgusting. What is it? Whatever's on the other end of this hall, I imagine. Watch the blown radiator here, guys. Team, take note that we're losing video feed. Something's interfering with our signal here. Roger that, we— Audio feed cuts out. Positioning system stays active for a few more moments as Site Command attempts to reconnect with Y-24 team. Intermittent communications are received for an additional 15 minutes. Some of these are human. That same. It's all over the inside. That black shit. Smells like iron. Something crawled out. Look. Do you hear? We need to get— There's a light over there. Can you see it? Hello, are you okay? Do you need help? We can. Audio cuts completely. Recovery efforts are halted. No communication are received from the Y-24 team for an additional 24 hours, after which the team is determined to be lost. Sample that was returned with the microdrones revealed to be blood and power core residual runoff, mixed with some kind of additional biological matter. Study into the substance is ongoing. After 1 week, Y-24-1's video feed becomes active again for 13 seconds. No audio is transmitted, and the video shows a group of humans standing around looking at a table. One of the humans turns to look at the camera and the video cuts. No additional communications are received from the team at any point afterwards. Log6.log. Initial Expiration Video Log Transcript. Date. Expiration Team. Mobile Access Drone. Subject SCP-1730. Team Lead. Not available. Team Members. Not available. Notes. While waiting for additional resources to arrive at SCP-1730, an unmanned ground-based drone was launched into the main site complex through the same door that the D-12 team had entered. The planned goal of the mission was to investigate lower floors and attempt to recover information relating to the origins of SCP-1730. Begin log. Drone approaches main office building and enters through front door. A moment is spent observing the writing on the walls in the interior lobby before moving across to the service elevator. Drone enters elevator and turns to floor selection. There are selections for 5 floors above the ground level and 15 below. Drone moves to select B-15 level. Elevator begins to descend. After 7 floors, elevator suddenly stops. After a few moments of time, it is determined that this is due to an intermittent power failure. Drone uses suitable utility to open the forward-facing elevator door. The open elevator shaft is visible, and the drone is unable to determine the depth of the shaft. Using its winch, the drone descends below the stopped elevator to the first available floor. After prying open the door, the drone swings into the opening and retracts the winch. A sign on the wall just inside the doorway indicates that this is the 8th basement level and that it is a Euclid-class containment wing. Lights on this floor remain dark. The drone is instructed to move down the main hallway and look for a suitable area to descend to the next floor. Drone moves toward the side hallway and is instructed to explore down it. It is noted that a number of messages are written on the walls, including "Don't look at the walls" and "Kill the quiet ones." After inspecting a number of rooms and finding them to be only empty offices, the drone returns to the main hallway. Drone ceases movement upon seeing a large, vaguely humanoid entity standing near the end of the hallway. See Exploration File Drone-139.jpg. This entity appears to glide slowly down the hallway, seemingly not noticing the drone. After it passes, the drone is instructed to follow the entity. Entity enters a maintenance closet near the end of the initial hallway. Drone observes as entity extends a long arm from underneath its outer layer and touches the floor. Upon further observation, the entity is noted to have picked up some of the thick, dark material previously identified as blood and power station runoff, with what is identified as its primary finger appendage. Entity then begins to make slow movements towards the hall behind it. This is obscured from the drone's view. The entity ceases movement and then slowly turns to leave the room. The drone is instructed to move towards the wall and take note of any changes. It is noted the entity left behind a number of unique symbols, such as… The drone takes several flash photographs of these symbols and transmits them back to Site Command. Drone is then instructed to continue to follow the large entity, however the entity has disappeared from the hallway. It is noted the entity left no apparent footsteps, even in the thick material covering parts of the floors. Drone is instructed to continue on regardless. Drone reaches what appears to be a series of several containment cells. The first cell is open. A placard on the side of the doorway reads, Entity 324, scheduled for termination December 13, 1975. The drone enters the doorway and observes a spacious containment cell. Thick rubber padding is all along the walls. The drone notices a human form in the corner of the room, covered in a thick, dark sludge. As the drone approaches the form, small sparks fire from its fingertips towards the drone. The drone takes several photographs, then leaves. The next 3 cells are all empty with no placards. The 4th cell is closed, and its placard is smashed. Drone is instructed to attempt to open the door with its cutting torch. After a few moments, it is able to do so. The drone enters the room. In the corner of the room is the emaciated body of a human female, roughly aged at 34 years. The body shows no sign of life. A chain is seen around the neck, descending into the shirt. Notable is the lack of sludge within the cell, possible as a result of the inhabitant closing the door and locking it from the interior. The drone searches the corpse for an identification badge and finds one. The name reads, Jack Bright. Drone is then instructed to search the neck chain, but the chain is discovered to be broken. The drone then leaves the room. The drone traverses a short way until it finds a stairwell. The drone descends to the next floor. A sign by the doorway reads, 5th floor. The drone turns to view the stairwell it had previously descended from, but finds it non-existent. After some short discussion at Site Command, the drone is instructed to enter the doorway. The drone enters into a large, spacious office floor, lit by sunlight. Several terminals are nearby, though all of them have been destroyed. The drone approaches the least damaged terminal and attempts to power it on. The terminal does not power on, though whether this is due to a power outage or damage to the machine is unknown. The drone maneuvers across the room. Papers litter the floor, and many look to have been burned or shredded. The drone reaches a terminal labeled M. Hadley, which appears mostly undamaged and attempts to power it on. The terminal powers on, and the drone then attempts to connect with the computer. The computer is running the same Foundation-based system as the current model, albeit a number of generations older. The drone is instructed to transmit every file it is capable of accessing to Site Command. The drone begins to do this. Note: at this point in the operation, Site Command lost contact with the drone. Several members of the operation team suddenly showed symptoms of some kind of anomalous influence, growing silent and beginning to burn from their ears. After the onset of symptoms, any sound would trigger what appeared to be a silent explosion that shook Site Command and destroyed most of its communicative equipment. It was later discovered that the only individuals influenced by this were those who had viewed the symbols created by the large entity in the basement storage closet. Further examination by Foundation cognitohazard specialist and screening technology ascertained that the symbols themselves were a sort of pyroclastic cognitohazard. Any individual becoming aware of the symbols would inevitably succumb to the effects of the hazard, making any additional exploration of the site hazardous. The drone was left unattended for several days thereafter, though it did complete its task of transmitting the terminal contents. The contents of the surge can be accessed in Addendum 1730.5. Attempts to reconnect with the drone was unsuccessful, and drone surveillance of the site from outside of the building showed that all the floors above ground level and the primary structure were entirely empty. The drone was not located. Log 7.log. Initial Exploration Video Log Transcript. Date. Exploration Team, Mobile Task Force Z-9, Mole Rats. Subject, SCP-1730. Team Lead, Z-9 Cap. Team Members, Z-9-1, Z-9-2, Z-9-3, Z-9-4, Z-9-SUP. Notes: due to high casualties sustained by previous exploration attempts, it was decided that a team experienced in exploration of anomalous structures would be called in to continue operations at SCP-1730. To that end, Mobile Task Force Z-9, Mole Rats, was assigned to SCP-1730. The team consisted of 5 explorative members and 1 support member who would stay at Site Command and monitor fluctuations in local reality. Begin log. We're online. Let us know when you got a link, support. Coming up now, I'm loading your displays with what should be a pretty accurate map of what you should see in there, but… don't bet on it, right? Like always, it's fully possible that there's a type green in there, alongside the other nasties. Alright, Command, what's the worst of it? There is at least 1 cognitohazard entity writing hazards on the walls. Your display should be able to filter out any and all messages written on the walls, so we don't take any chances. As for the rest, it's a containment site. Awesome. There you have it, guys. Load up. Let's get in there. Yes, ma'am. Z-9 team enters the main structure but search the upper floors first. As observed by the flying drones, the floors are empty. There is no sign of the previous exploration drone. We're clean here. How are we looking, support?
Holding steady, Captain. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Tell 4 that he needs to adjust his channel frequency. I'm having trouble connecting to that module.
Will do, 4. Check your frequency. You're falling out.
Team descends the main level. After ascertaining the functionality of their hazard-blocking displays, the team moves towards a descending stairwell instead of the service elevator.
Going down now, starting to see some of that sludge. Any idea where it comes from?
Part of the mixture is power station runoff, but it's mostly blood and some other biological residue, like pus. As for where it comes from, your guess is as good as ours.
Guess that's what we're here to find out.
That's the one. This stuff doesn't stink like you'd think it would. Just smells like pennies.
Tighten up, all. We're going into the dark.
Team descends several levels until they reach the 6th basement level, marked as a Euclid containment wing. Z-9 Cap motions to enter the floor.
Lots of bodies in here, Cap.
I see them. Not all human, are they?
Nope. They've all got that look to them, though. From the briefing. Blood on their faces.
Stay alert, guys.
Copy that. Let's keep moving.
Team moves forward for a short time, investigating the mostly empty floor. Suddenly a rumbling is heard. All team members stop and wait for the noise to end. There is a crash, and Z-9-4 shouts.
So what was that?
Came from below you. Notice any structural damage?
Sure fucking did. 4 collapsed under Randall. He's down below us. I can see him.
4, you read me?
Yeah, Cap. I'm alright, but my leg is pretty fucked. I don't know if I can get up.
Alright, stay there. We're gonna get down to you. 3, you stay here with Randall. 1-2, move with me. Let's find a stairwell down.
Captain, something fluctuating below you, you copy?
Z-9 Cap does not respond. Site Command also attempts to communicate with Z-9 team and fails to do so. Communications continue to be transmitted from the team.
Where are they?
Should be on their way.
Any way you can get down there?
Not without breaking my legs.
You sure? I think I can hear something down there.
I can't hear anything. It's probably just the pipes.
No, it's definitely something. It's…
Fuck, Brett, it's slithering. There's something down here.
Hang on, mate. Cap, you read me?
Cap?
1? 2?
Anybody?
God damn it.
Brett, shit, it's right here. I can hear it. the something off-screen. Get the fuck away from me, you slimy asshole.
Gunshots. I said get the fuck back.
Don't shoot anything, Randall, you'll—
Z94 cries out. Z93's camera observes what appears to be a black, leech-like creature, approximately the length and width of an adult human arm, moving slowly towards Z94. Z94 continues to fire wildly, causing Z93 to run behind the opening in the floor for cover. Suddenly the gunfire stops and Z93 looks back over the edge.
Randall, Jesus fuck, I—
The creature has now entered Z94's open mouth and is moving slowly down its throat. Z94's mic picks up muffled cries and a low grinding noise, like chewing. Z93 aims his weapon at the creature and fires, missing it when Z94 twitches. Z93 fires again, striking Z94 in the arm.
Oh fuck, oh Captain, permission to fire on Randall.
God damn it, Captain, permission to fire on 4.
Fuck, fuck, Randall, I'm choking. Please.
Z93 raises weapon and fires at Z4. There is another rumble, and the ground beneath Z93 gives way. Z93 falls into the concrete below and is crushed by additional falling debris. Z93's camera and microphone disconnect. Z94's microphone continues to pick up Z94 choking and vomiting for an additional 5 minutes, after which Z94 grows silent. Another leech creature emerges from his mouth and disappears. Z94 stands and picks up Z93's weapon. Z94's camera disconnects.
Note: at this point, Z19 was in full disconnect. 2 members were consumed KIA, while the other 3 were not accounted for. After 3 hours of non-communication, Site Command contacted Overwatch Command to request a full stop to all explorative efforts in the SCP-1730. While waiting for a response, Z91's microphone came back online.
You didn't look, did you?
Yeah, me neither, Cap.
It was over there, against that wall.
Is it not there anymore?
I can get it open. We need fucking bullets.
I think they're gone, yeah, but I don't want to wait around for
lower.
What floor are we on right now anyways?
I thought there were only supposed to be 15.
Fuck.
Alright.
Z94's camera suddenly comes online, showing a massive room, dimly lit by many small flames. Further observation of the footage shows the small flames all originate from the ears of many humanoids, standing quietly around the walls. In the center pit is a large creature that appears to be covered in many smaller creatures. It is barely distinguishable in the low lighting. Several large pipes over the creature have been cut and are draining into the center of the room. The camera cuts out.
What happened to Site-13? This is like the 5th time.
I don't fucking know, Hal M.
Right. Wait.
Yeah, I do too. It's coming from over there.
This shit is everywhere. Fuck, look.
Open that door.
Shh.
Z91 is silent.
No, I—
Shh.
Stay quiet.
Need to get back upstairs.
Hey, who's that?
Z91's mic disconnects.
Z9 Cab is standing in a very tall room, looking at some kind of large and intricate machine. She approaches the machine slowly before settling over some kind of input console with a backlit screen. Z9 Cap wipes dust off of a label just above the screen. The word Thresher is clearly visible.
Z9 Cap's hands hover over the keyboard of the console. Another distant sound can be heard over the microphone, later identified as footsteps.
Z9 Cap turns quickly to face the darkness behind her. As she turns, her shoulder-mounted light strikes something on the machine behind her and goes out.
The footsteps grow closer. Z9 Cap begins to breathe heavily and starts running through the dark. She trips and falls and the noise begins to close in.
No, fuck you, get—
Z9 Cap's camera disconnects. No additional transmissions are received from the Z9 team.
Addendum 1730.4. Recovered data from power station terminal. Thresher.log.
Dr. Hadley, as you can see, the power output to the Thresher device has been adjusted to your specifications. At your command, the reactors will surge to the full 55 GW required to activate the device.
Like I mentioned in our previous correspondence, the reactors will likely not survive this kind of power surge. The core dedicated to the body pit might, given its reinforced construction, but there will likely be significant damage to all the rest. Additionally, and you'll forgive me for speaking out of place since I'm not assigned to the Thresher device, but the device is still wildly unstable. The tests have been encouraging on smaller subjects, and it might someday be an applicable piece of technology, but at this moment it is only considered a measure for very final attempts. Utilization of the device could make local reality unstable here, as well as wherever the device ends up. In other words, I hope you know what you're doing. Best of luck, Engineer 242.
Addendum 1730.5. Collected data logs. Comlog1.log.
Dear Dr. Hadley, 340.
We have received your communication and thank you for taking the time to contact us. We have considered your request, but at this time we cannot approve any transfers. If you are at Site-13, you are there because of your superb level of professionalism and aptitude in your profession, and we cannot afford to have you anywhere else. You may speak to your site pharmacist about an amnestic regimen if you like, but we cannot allow you the transfer from Site-13. As for your concerns about Director Emerson's mortuary protocol, we understand your complaints. However, you must understand that anomalies, especially those classified as humanoid, are not human beings. Human beings fall into a very specific category of non-anomalous life forms. Humanoid anomalies may appear to be human, but are simply humanoid. As such, they are not entitled to the rights and privileges afforded to human beings by the Ethics Committee. Our job as researchers is to identify where anomalies come from, and then to identify how to best utilize those anomalies for the benefit of mankind. We are protectors, and we cannot protect unless we know everything there is to know about the threat at hand. Once we have learned what we can learn, we neutralize the threat. If you have any other questions, please do not hesitate to contact our offices. Sincerely, Peter Grinwald, SCP Foundation Ethics Committee Chair, Global Occult Coalition Ethics Board Head. 3421-TestLog.log. Test Log. Entity 3421. Administrator Dr. 1343. Test Purpose. To identify Class A entities' ability to bend reality while exposed to dangerous conditions and a Scranton-Mollius inhibitor device. Use of SCP to reanimate entity between tests. Test 1. Exposure to temperature, negative 35 degrees Celsius. Result. Entity loses energy, becomes less hostile. Extended exposure results in low external temperature and decay of skin layer. Entity expires after 1 hour of sustained exposure. Test 2. Exposure to temperature, 150 degrees Celsius. Result. Entity quickly succumbs to heat stroke. Body shows sign of burning across all surfaces. Organ damage as a result of extreme temperature. Entity unable to change reality to save itself. Test 5. Submerge in water. Result. Data not found. Notes: water seems to interfere with Scranton-Mollius device. Test 13. Exposure to electricity. Result: entity unable to save itself. Body no longer salvageable. Entity moved to body pit for incineration. 129COM1.log. To Engineer 242 from Engineer 129. Subject: control of hazardous toxins and reactor core. We're having some trouble controlling the waste backup in the pit. The runoff is supposed to be piped off-site, but it keeps getting sucked back up the air intake into the reactor. The stuff is seriously toxic. I don't want to send any of my guys in there to clean it up. Either we shut off the reactor long enough to go down there and clean it up by hand, or we're going to have a pretty serious issue here in a while. Termination Log 1.log. Data not found. Summary of events. Entity showed unwillingness to submit to further testing, and as such, was swiftly terminated by way of electrocution. Entity moved to body pit for incineration. Noting here that additional orders have come in from Director Emerson requesting a full-scale termination of the entire humanoid wing. Those will be processed at your convenience, and we can begin to empty out those floors. Sincerely, Dr. 790. Unknown Log 3.log. Has shown some tenacity, but will soon break under the mental pressure applied to it by the orators. This is not uncommon. Many entities arriving for their initial inspection will resist exposure to treatment in some way, but it cannot be sustained for the duration of their time here. Entity does have a particularly interesting effect on, which leads me to believe that we could repurpose that aspect of the entity by removing the face, neck, upper chest area and arms, and applying it to a Mark 12 using the. I will send this notice to Dr. 874 post-haste and move forward with this project. Sincerely, Dr. 720. Unknown Log 12.log. To Dr. Hadley, from Engineer 242. They took your leech boy down to the pit today. I made sure to alter his termination record accordingly, and made sure the output is still blocked up. I don't know what you've got planned for him, but that pit's pretty noxious now. It's not going to be good. HadleyLetter.log. Dr. Emerson, before we get started, let me just say that the numbered thing was always bullshit. If you want to properly dehumanize your researchers, you put them in cubicles. The numbers were a joke from the beginning. If you're reading this, then you're left with a decision. What did you think was going to happen, throwing the bodies of anomalies into that pit? Did you think that their being alive made them anomalous? Hell, being alive is the least anomalous part of our humanity. I thought you might have seen that, but then, things have changed. The containment breach was my fault, I won't lie to you. In my research, I had the pleasure of analyzing a young boy. His name was Elijah. He subsisted only on blood, and he could siphon it through others with his mouth, right through their skin. Like a leech, he had no mental capacity beyond 2 years, and yet he deserved the same chance to live as the rest of us. He did not choose to be the way he was. Then you decided to have him burned, like the rest of them. So I modified his record. The fires of your pit won't have incinerated him, just agitated him. And that sludge has been building up? I'm glad you care to get it cleaned up. I'm sure you're glad too, it's pretty awful down there. Anyway, your decision. The containment breach was inevitable, and whether it was something that crawled out of the pit that did it, or my hand on a button makes no difference. You have a choice to make. Either stay your course and certainly be devoured by the creatures you have been torturing for the last 15 years, or activate the Thresher device and hope it dumps you out in a more hospitable reality than your own. Either way, our world will be rid of you and your filth, and we'll be better for it. This is your death camp, Elliot. You made your bed, and now you get to die in it. Sincerely, Hadley. P.S. I don't know if you even remember when this picture was taken, but I'm sure you'll recognize your own face. Amazing how much can change in just a few years, isn't it? All because you were chasing a promotion. Incredible. I hope it was worth it. Oh yeah, and if you decide you want to talk this out, I'll be down in the basement with Elijah. I've got a nice warm spot for him to get set up when he arrives. You've made sure there will be plenty of blood for him.